Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no goes based on the data you had printed LOS. I see we got it back. Give me another few seconds.
We're going, flying.
Okay, retro, go. Fido, go. Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
Jinsei,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
Last night you were unhinged. You were like some desperate howling demon. You frightened me. Do it again.
Oh, it's so good to be back. Oh, and I'm choking on my coffee. Hi, everybody. This is John. Yes, I'm back. And we had quite a show last night. This is Soulstream. It's Sunday night, yes. And it's actually summer is no more. We are in fall. And so it's good to be back. We're going to have Quinny, my good friend Quinny, on tonight. Actually, I should have left that. Here's her page. I've got to ask her about this name, Quinny Genoifa Genia, which is not her real name, but she's got this this three name thing going on with the QGG, I'm going to call her, going on here. So we will be talking with her a bit. I'm going to talk a little bit, though, about some of the stuff from last night's show. First off, jump right in. Yes, everybody, shush, John. I'm having a problem talking today. I don't know what it is. Well, I spent today all day, by the way, on the Broken Tree Ranch with fewer broken trees. It's starting to actually look pretty good around here. We were doing electrical work today, and I managed myself to fix the garage door opener, by God. So we got that up and running. It's amazing. You press the button and things happen now. It's not just some silent thing. And I found out my father disconnected the radio inside the garage door opener. So it helps when the radio is working inside that thing. Anyway, so we got that done, and we corrected a bunch of broken circuitry and traced lines, and we even have the bathroom fan working again. So, yes, boring stuff, but by God, you know, when you start bringing order out of chaos, it just feels great. It's just a lot harder work than you think it will be. Anyway, let's see. We've got 67 RS Blue Gin. I think I know who that is, Lorna. And we have Almost Heaven. Hello, Hazel. And Anastasia is here. We got Carrie Whisper. Carrie is my co-pilot tonight aboard Discovery. And she actually broke the throttle. So we're actually increasing in speed. And she's madly trying to figure out how to reconnect the throttle. The linkage is all screwed up, dear. Just keep playing with it. There you go. Kathy's Distant Echoes. Yes, she is my dear, dear friend back east there in Virginia, or West Virginia area. And she is, I think she's currently building a dike around her whole property to keep out water. So, keep working there, Kathy. Curious is there. Hello, Chris. Good to see you. I'm sorry. We played such a terrible trick on her yesterday on the show. So I hope you forgive me, my dear. We love you. Dan is chief engineer and has been doing a great job. He's actually working on the throttle linkage with Carrie right now, trying to get the control of the ship. So we are careening wildly through the heavens tonight. Let's see. We've got Evelyn Hart. Oh, I haven't seen you in a while, my dear. Good to see you. Glitchy Music, that's a new name. Hello, glad to have you aboard. Let's see. Carrie, don't be sorry. It's actually a lot more fun this way, being out of control. Let's see. We've got JB34. Good to see you again. Judith, hello, Judith. Big hug to you. I don't see you called in, listening in your normal way. I'm always looking for your number now. I finally got used to it, and then you quit calling in. Let's see. We've got Mountain Diva. Mountain Diva was a real... real sport yesterday when we held court here, yes, at the People's Court for my show. And the mind lamp has turned a perfect purple just as I said that. So we had a lot of fun with that. Yes, I was the judge. And Brenda Orr, my medium friend who comes up here and every other week with me, was she was great as a counselor, and we had a blast with that. So I really enjoyed that show last night, and we really did some interesting readings. So it was really good to have that happening. And if you listen to the archive of the show, we went the full distance, as long as you could go, with the show off stream, and read a whole bunch of people. So it was some pretty accurate stuff last night, and I really didn't feel like we were really hitting on all cylinders, but we really did do a good job. So. Even when you don't feel like you're doing it, you still can do it. By gosh, you can still read. Let's see. We have Mustang Sally. Good to see you. I've seen you around before. Nancy Mum is our bouncerette, and she is mean with a frying pan. And we love this lady dearly. She's out there in the western part of California, facing the ocean. And collects frying pans for a living. It's just an amazing thing she does. Old Crow, hello, my dear. Good to see you again, second day in a row. We got Quinny, our guest of honor tonight. She's going to get the experience of being on our show, and we love her to death, so we're going to have a lot of fun with her. Tim Zuhl, who's been a guest on our show before, a paranormal investigator extraordinaire. Good to see you, my friend. And Yachtman, good to see you. And to all the ones, the lurkers out there, we know you're there, so good to see you. We're going to go ahead and introduce my friend, and I'm going to read a little bit about her. I'm cheating. I have the Facebook profile up here. So what we're going to do is, Jennifer is her real name. I won't go with the full name unless she authorizes me to, but Jennifer, a.k.a. Quinny, who is not on trial. I'm no longer a judge. I hung up the robes permanently yesterday. Is with us, and she has been associated. I've known her for I think about 2 years now, working with her off and on with Kathy's Distant Echoes, and all of the interaction that we as a group have had over those these past years. And I've done readings with her, and done work with spirits that have come through for us together. And she's a lovely lady. She's a substitute teacher and studied fine arts. And I want to know, I'm going to ask her when she comes on about fine arts versus coarse arts. So I better find out more about that, because I really don't know. Is it really fine arts, or is it kind of a semi-fine art? But I'm going to get grilled for that, but I had to do it. She's based out of New Jersey. And I hope I said that right. And so she lives in and around that area. And she's also a farm girl. So she knows a little bit about farming and has a family farm to the north of her. And I can't remember exactly what part of the world that's in, but I think it's New York. But I'm going to find out more from that on that. So we're going to just jump in with her and start interviewing. And then I believe she is gracious enough to do some readings, because she does do that. And we'll find out more about what she does and how she does it. And so with that, I'm going to welcome her on. Here we go. Click that little button. Hello, hello. Come in. Come in, Quinny. Jennifer,
hey,
are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Spock, Bones, we got her. We've got a lock on her. Beam her aboard.
Beam me up, Scotty.
It's good to have you aboard. Thank you very much. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I just realized I'm really hot here in the studio, so I'm just taking this coat off because it said all the equipment warmed up the studio. So I was thinking it got actually cold out here, so now it's like warmed up. So anyway, I've worked with you for I guess how long have we been? 2 years? I've been seeing you off and on for 2 years, right?
Yeah, two or more. I've lost track.
Yeah, it feels like we've known each other, longer. But with the gang that we all hang out with, I mean, we're always on Facebook. We're always chatting with each other. But I mean, I don't know an awful lot about how you got into all this. This is the part that So I'm actually going to dive back here in the interview process and kind of go back to the beginning with you. And I generally start with people when they were born. So. We'll start with that. And what I'm wondering is, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, what were your origins and your early, any paranormal experiences you had or, rememberings of things that you had going on early in life and kind of how it led up to this. And then we'll just take it from there and go freeform.
I do remember when I was a little girl, astral projection was second nature. I'd go to bed, meet a bunch of kids in a playground. It had a hill in the middle. We'd all practice flying. It was fun, and I'd be able to go places. You know, I want to go to the farm, so I'd be there. It was extremely real. You know, meet people along the way. There's like this big meeting area that I found, which I was very surprised about. And then every time, I'd go to bed, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and it was like a playroom in my bedroom. You had apparitions of all sorts of toys moving by themselves. Big fish tank at the end of my canopy bed they'd put there. Just a lot of things floating around my room that I enjoyed. I would go out of the room, and I'd see all these black orbs flying all around the place. It was fun. And then they started to get more colorful and more light. And I never mentioned it to anybody because I thought it was second nature.
Wow. I had the similar thing with the what I call the sparkles when I was five. And
yeah.
I would see them, and they would play. They would actually come and play with you. And that's a sign of, some pretty high spirit entities coming around you, to work with you.
It was wonderful. I enjoyed going to bed because I'd wake up and playtime.
So mom and dad were sitting there going, that kid's a little weird. Why is she going to bed early?
Actually, they kept quiet. It wasn't around until I was about eight, I think, that mom actually let me watch some things on TV. We had the reruns of Dark Shadows, which I absolutely fell in love with right away. We had the Cliffhangers, the three-part series on that I absolutely loved but wasn't allowed to watch all of it. So it wasn't until later on that, I'm watching these shows and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so cool, it's normal. So I never really mentioned it to anybody. My mom, I think I was about four or five, and my mom came in and she told me that a little girl, I guess I knew the little girl, I'm really not sure today, she had a babysitter, the babysitter left her alone, and she drowned in the pool. I cried my eyes out for hours, and that little girl came and sat on my bed. And till this day, I have people sitting on my bed in the middle of the night. You feel the whole bed go down. You can probably see the bed go down.
Can you hear me, Quinny?
Yes, I can.
Oh, I just lost all my Skypes. I mean, I'm sorry. I was sitting here, and all of a sudden I heard static, and then the next thing I knew, I'm actually redialing in the host number right now. I'm sorry. I feel terrible about this, but
that's okay.
Both my Skypes just died at the same time, so I'm doing a little bit of magic here. So, God, now you told us. Okay, you're right. Okay, just a sec.
To hear important instructions, press the 1. That is your show now. Press center to appear to your calling.
Oh, I'm listening.
We are
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Okay, now it's all normal. You know, I mean, that's the third time this has happened where I've lost both my, as I normally dial in with two Skype connections, and, you know, and one is supposed to back up the other. And ever since Microsoft took over, I'm not pointing fingers, it's been strange. Strange things have been happening with this. Usually the backup line works, and then I can continue the show, and nobody ever knows I had a problem. But anyway, so let's get back to what we were doing. Yes, we're back. But anyway, you were talking about, I caught something about the bed moving. And can we roll back to that?
Sure. When I was maybe about 4 or 5, I'm not sure if I knew the little girl that my mother was coming in to tell me about, but she was being babysat by someone. That young lady left the child alone, and the kid went outside, played in the pool, and drowned. I cried my eyes out for hours. You know,
wow.
Well, maybe not hours. To me, it was hours. And she came and sat on my bed.
The child who drowned came,
yes,
and sat on your bed?
Yes.
And what happened? I mean,
I felt at peace. It's hard to explain. I don't know if it was just because I was so innocent and I actually felt real sorrow for what happened, but this little thing, just the size of the child, sat on my bed. And ever since then, I've had people sitting on my bed.
Oh, even up to the current day? I mean,
yeah.
You still have that?
Yes, every once in a while, you know, if I'm feeling blue or depressed or just having a bad day, you know, I'll go to bed or take a nap and somebody will sit down on the bed. I had one birthday where I was absolutely miserable and I actually had somebody come over to the bed, sit down and put their arms around me. It was the warmest, most loving feeling I have ever felt.
I know what you're talking about. I mean, my original family home up near Paradise, we had a summer family guest type house, and we had that property for quite a few years, and the home was haunted. And we would stay in my great grandmother's, it was my great grandfather and grandmother's place, and we would stay, my great-grandmother was the last to pass on, and then we inherited the home. And it was funny because my sister was the first one to report someone coming in and sitting on the bed while she was in it, and it freaked her out. And then I had a number of experiences in there, and I refused to sleep in there ever again. I mean, and it was before I knew as much as I do now with this whole thing. But, I mean, you know, it sounds to me like the difference is with you, it was, you were pretty comfortable with the whole process from the very start.
It was like second nature. I don't know why. I have no idea why I never even brought it up to my parents later years. I mean, even when I started getting into the paranormal world and the spiritual world, researching, It still took me time to talk to my parents.
Does this gift run in your family?
I'm not sure. I'm adopted.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So you really don't know. You don't know the history then of this going back. I mean, with you know, other real family members. Then I'm sorry.
I have. Asked, but I've gotten nowhere with it.
Oh, you've asked from the other side, and to see what they have to say, and they've just kind of been mum's a word.
I met my biological mother and my biological grandparents on the mother's side, and nobody knows from nothing. So
that's,
you know, I asked them. I asked them nonchalantly so they wouldn't feel uncomfortable. But I think I was placed with an awesome family. I was chosen to be with this family. But I went through a phase answering the phone before it even rang. My mom was doing it as well.
Your adopted mom.
Yes. And she's had experiences through life, and it took her a while to tell me about some of the experiences, even after I found the nerve to actually sit down and talk to her about it. Also,
It's funny. I mean, they would place you as someone who also had that ability in a real similar way then.
Yes, my brother, who's also adopted, my little nephew has a guardian, which my brother has seen. And that takes a lot for him to actually admit that he's seen that. My sister has... First time I was aware of it was when I flipped my car. I called my at the time my husband. He brought me over to my parents' house. My sister comes out and gives me a great big hug. She saw the whole thing.
Whoa.
It was like a videotape.
Well, you know, it's funny. I find that family members tend to have the most intense connections, you know, psychically. Okay. I remember my mother, seeing my father ran out of gas twice coming home from work and knew exactly where to find him. Now, nothing as dramatic as flipping the car, but it's, you know, it's that closeness that you can see people when they're in need. You know, the thing I keep getting with you is these, even though they're not biological family, they're a real family and it goes back beyond other lives.
Mm-hmm.
With you. That's kind of the sense I get of it.
Yes, I think my biological family was just the vessel for me to get here. My mom at the time was told she couldn't have children. So she adopted me, my brother, and then along came the miracle, my sister. So it was all meant to be.
When this all started happening, I mean, you grew up with this and you had these relationships with these spirits who were coming in and sitting on the bed and keeping you comfortable and being with you. What was that like coming up from being an adolescent through teenage years and then into adulthood? I mean, you know, how did it change?
John, there was a time, especially in my adolescence, my teenage years, even my early 20s, when my mom said it the best, it looked like nobody was home. It looked like your soul went on vacation. I was blank.
Wow.
I think I had major attachments at that time. There were freaky things that did go on. I had the strange feelings. I picked up everyone's feelings, especially in high school.
I know what you're talking about. Sensitive people do, especially in high school years. I mean, just when you're trying to find your identity, and here you are, you're picking up on everybody else's stuff, and it's like you just kind of want to just shut down. You don't want to deal with all that. I mean, it's tough enough just trying to get through, you know, being, quote, normal. And when you've got this gift that's coming at you full force with all the other things raging in your body and your spirit, you know. Mm-hmm. I understand. I know what you're talking about.
And there was a time there, you know, I was the quiet kid on the school bus that always looked through the window. I was always paying attention. And I had someone, one of the upperclassmen actually asked me, he's like, why do you just sit there and look out the window? I'm like, see that rabbit in the field? And the bus was driving down, and he's like, no, where? Oh, there he is. Well, he's not going to be there tomorrow. So I was always picking up on the littlest changes, and even with people. And it was sometimes very difficult for me to relate to people.
Do you feel that that's changed? I mean, because, you know, knowing you, I mean, you relate really well with folks now. You know, what changed that? What's made that different now? I mean, just life experience and...
Life experience, I went back to college. I became very active. I was in student government, PTK. I took an acting class in the city. I learned how to socialize and just be in the moment.
What do you think? What do you think took you from being the girl who stared out the window to being, you know, able to get out in front of people and do that?
Was there? Oh, I still stare out the window. I'm still always staring out the window.
Even to this day.
Hmm.
Even to this day.
Yes. 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 I'm a passenger in a car. Don't expect two words from me because I'm too busy looking at everything around me.
I can see you doing that. I can see that with you. So you really are, you're truly reading all the time then.
I guess if that's what you want to call it.
Yeah. I mean, when did you start feeling like you were able to, you know, yeah, I mean, and I'm just going to just call this that. When did you feel like you could start looking at people and start being able to tell them things about themselves? You know, when did that start happening, and what were some of the events that led to that?
During my divorce, I became extremely overwhelmed, and this don't everybody read into this and take it the wrong way. I became extremely overwhelmed that I checked myself into for 10 days for a little vacation just to get away, and I ended up helping patients there while I was there, and that gave me a sense of accomplishment in a way, and I was right on with all of them, and I'm like, okay, this is what's happening. And through the years I researched different things. I found out about the highly sensitive person, the HSP, that's, they're looking into actually the DNA structure. It's supposed to be in the biology of people.
Oh, really?
There's
actually a genetic factor with people who do this?
Yes. It's called the highly sensitive person. And then I found out about empaths, and I read more on that. And then, you know, I was diagnosed with a couple of things, you know, the depression and everything here and there. And I was finding myself at times going into places like Walmart or ShopRite or any kind of store, or even walking through Jersey City, I couldn't handle it. I had to get out of there because I felt everybody's stuff coming at me. And that one of the reasons I left Jersey City. Because you walk out the door and all this negativity, it's like a tidal wave. It goes right up on you.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I that's why I will never live in cities. I can take them for maybe a week, and I got to get out. San Francisco, I can be there a little while, but man, I mean, there's some really intense people there. just got to go.
Yeah.
It's much nicer here. You could just get away and just be, you know, you can let your hair down, and you're not being hit with all this stuff. It's real common with mediums to have that. I mean, it's just you just can't take all the inputs, you know. So you're sorting it all out, I guess, is what, you know, what happens by being alone. Yeah. So I mean, what do you do with all this now? What do you do day to day with this ability, and where do you think you're going to take it?
I don't know where I'm going to take it. I don't know where it's taking me. Let me put it that way.
I know that feeling.
Because it's taking me for a ride. I'm just, you know, hands in the air. Woo! It's a roller coaster ride. I don't remember buying a ticket for. I'm just taking it day by day. Now, I keep myself busy during the day, sometimes, you know, with friend or family. But even with family, it can't be an all-day affair unless we're at a party or a barbecue. Clothes house, four walls. It just doesn't work with me and family.
Yeah, I know the deal. I mean, I can take it for a while, and then I have to get out for, outside and do alone time. And that sounds weird. I mean, you know, people who do this work, you've got to disconnect for a bit to process, go off and process it, and then you can do your thing. But when you read people, I don't know if what your experience of it is, but when I do readings. I'll do like what I did last night, and by the time I'm done, I'm just wrung out, you know. I mean, you're working your butt off doing this, and when you get done, you're just really tired, but you feel good about it. I mean, you feel good inside. I mean, how is it when you do readings? I mean, I know you feel some pretty good gratification, and you feel like you've really done something, but what else is there that you feel?
Like I've done all of my life, I've paid attention to my surroundings. I pay attention to the person's energy, what the person's saying. There's so many past experiences I've been through that I can relate a lot. And I just help the person recognize the red flags, their intuition, their stomach doing flip-flops. And it's really not a feeling of, oh, I'm doing a great job, this feels real good. It's more like, I have to do this.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's funny. I mean, there are nights you know you did really good. You feel like the readings were, you know, spot on. You were really clicking. And some nights it's okay. You did okay. But when you walk away, you know you did your best, and you come out of it, and you know that you in some way you helped these people. And you're right. I guess it's the way you said it. It's you must. You know, this is what you're called to do. You know, and
I just step up. It's like nobody has to ask me anymore. when I was in Jersey City, I went going back to school. I spent time in a homeless shelter. It was like a boarding house,
mm-hmm.
And I was in there with those you would call the worst of society.
Yeah.
After I had moved out, I found an apartment. I was doing real good. I had just graduated from the college with honors. I ran into three people that were in that same shelter, that boarding house shelter. And all of them had turned their lives around, and they told me it was because of me.
That's cool.
That was the best moment of my life. And I still, when people say, oh, you helped me, that was great, that you were dead on, I'm like, I didn't do anything. You did it all.
Well, you know, the job of a reader, the job that we do is we tease people to pull things out of themselves. And not only that, I mean, real spirits, real entities from the other side, and souls who were here on Earth and some who were never here,
mm-hmm.
Basically just make use of us. I mean, the thing I like about working with you and when we've done stuff, you know, and the stuff we've done with Richie in the past and all that, is the ego's not there with you. You know, there's no ego thing. It's just, you just do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the quintessential thing in a good medium and a good reader is to put your human self aside and just be the telephone and do your thing. And then you're really surprised when things go, you know, like what you just related. I mean, you're really surprised when people come back and go tell you these things. You're going, really? I didn't think I really did that good, you know, or I didn't think it was that meaningful. And then you find out you just really turned this person's life around. I mean, that is the best feeling in the world, isn't it?
It is. And I'm still like, I didn't do anything. I was just there doing what I needed to do. And even with the readings, I don't want to call them readings. I don't want to say I do readings. I don't I don't like the label.
Well, it's your opening. Well, unfortunately, you know, the problem we have with you being human beings, we have to put language, as imperfect as it is, we have to come up with a term that sort of fits the moment when we two souls meet, and we get one to open up to the other. And then during that connection, the other side comes through and forms this kind of a triple connection.
Right.
And then, you know, the real magic happens. And that's what, to me, a reading is. So it's not just a human component. There's a magic to it. And when that happens and it all starts firing, it's just this amazing thing. And that's why, you know, when you come out and you're really worked out. I mean, you feel like you've been out lifting weights. But you come out and you're just really pumped and you're just going, yeah, that was it, you know. And we do get something out of this. I mean, we do this because we, you know, we get something from it too. You know, it may sound like a cliche or something, but I mean, I know you've got to feel good about it. I mean, when you walk away after you've done something like that, it's there. It's just this thing. It's like food almost. You got it.
It does make me feel energized. It doesn't really affect me to a point where, oh, I did great. This was great. Oh, no, it was fun. I enjoyed doing it. That's where I go with it.
Yeah. I'll walk away. It's like yesterday after we did some readings, after the stream ended, and we had a couple of young men on who came on and were really testing us. And it was, you know, Brenda and me working together, and we were just clicking. And I kept getting this strange sense of outdoors, and the spirit just kept showing me outdoors, and I kept seeing green. And finally, she hits me over the head basically and says, golf clubs, and tell them golf clubs. And I'm going, I'm not going to say that. That's dumb. And she really beat me up about it. Finally, I tell the guy golf clubs, and it turns out it's like, oh, that's what his mother gave him just before she passed. And this was her way of letting him know. And then he really kind of turned the corner, and it really got to him. And that's the thing is feeling good when you've managed to get the symbols right. That's the key, you know, and that's, you know, because we've got to get a reward for what we're doing too. We're working our butts off. I mean, I know you do. I mean, when you're working with people, it takes a lot of effort to make that connection happen because it just doesn't happen. I mean, we're opening our energy field up to be able to allow this other spirit to come in, and it really taxes us, you know?
Yeah, and the one problem I've had in the past, which I'm trying to stop, when it's a personal relationship, you know, a friend next door or down the road or someone that I see a lot, it becomes very taxing on me. And it was doing that at the boarding house as well. It was very taxing on me because they're right there all the time. They could be down the hall. Yeah, I could feel the vibe, the energy coming back and forth. But over the phone and through chat, it's very easy. If I'm private messaging with someone, it's very easy for me to just grab that one person's energy and forget about everybody else.
What do you mean forget everybody else? I mean, what do you mean by that?
I can separate everyone in the chat room or everyone outside of my own little private home here from myself, so they don't tax me in any way, and I could work one on one with a person. But when it comes to my everyday life, I'm finding it very difficult to help a person that I meet physically and separate their problems from mine.
Yeah, well, I think that's the trouble almost with him being, you know, and you, you've got what I think is really strong empathic stuff going on. I mean, you really tend to, you're absorbing all the energy around you, and it's coming through. That's why you need more of the, I think even more than me, you need that that alone time to be able to just kind of sort through it all, and to build up the filters, you know. So it's funny. I mean, what I find difficult is, like, when we do the stuff on, you know, like the pure mediumship, and when we're doing the I almost said dueling mediums. Oh God! But I mean, yeah, dueling. But when we're doing the mediumship and we're going through with phone callers, I mean, it's to me, I don't see the difference between a person in front of you versus a person on the phone. You're working your butt off just the same, and the connections are just the same. It's a real expenditure, you know. I don't know. I mean, for you, it sounds like it affects you a little bit less, though.
No, it does affect me. I've just been learning to put humor into everything and just take a step away.
Yeah, it's. I mean, when you do your shows, I mean, and I've listened into a few of them, but when you do the readings that you do, I mean, it's funny. It's like Kathy. When I do have Kathy on with me, she generally has to come in and pull me out because I go really deep, you know. But how do you read? I mean, how is it your whole process work with it? Do you really go down deep with people, or do you just start clicking off stuff, you know, right and left, just you know, out of the blue? I mean, how does your reading process work?
It depends, I think, on the person, how much they're open to letting me in.
Yeah, okay, I know what you mean. I mean, we get the ones where we'll get people who call in and are really testing you versus ones who have a real honest. Let's say it's an honest person who's, and I'm not calling everybody dishonest, but it's a person who honestly is coming in with a real serious spiritual need to talk to somebody who's passed on. And you can generally tell that kind of a person the minute they say hello, you know what you're in for, and you know it's going to be a good reading. I mean, so what happens for you when that goes on? Let's say I was calling you and I needed that.
Well, you have already.
I know.
There are certain things that I'm not going to touch on air.
Uh-huh.
And and if that ever comes up, I will tell a person that, like I told you. There are times when you just have that one person that really, really needs it, is open, is emotional. The energy is all over the place, and you make a perfect connection with, and you can relate, especially when you feel all their emotions coming through. You can find something to relate to. It's so difficult to explain.
I don't know. I think when I'll get someone who calls in and they are, you know, the connection becomes especially clear, I see symbols coming in my mind, the clairvoyant, and then occasionally I'll get the clairaudience stuff where I'll actually hear them speak. But more often than not, it just pops right in there with symbols, and they come in like I'll suddenly just, I don't know why, I just suddenly, it's like golf clubs, too, and I'm like, golf clubs. Why am I thinking about golf clubs? And then the names come in, you know. And once you start firing two or three of those on a reading, you know you're dialed in, and then it just starts flowing. And it's just this peaceful feeling comes over you when you're reading like that. You know, it's work, but it's the most pleasant thing. You know, I mean,
I don't hear words. I think it's more like thoughts. The feelings turn into thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. You know, it's like, it's just suddenly you just find this thought planted in your head and you know they did that.
There's only been a couple of times when I've started to get flashes of a person. I remember the first time that happened, it was with Voice of Reason, Marie. I believe it was on Kathy's show.
Yeah.
And this little lady that looked like she was from one of the Madea movies comes in with this big grin on her face, this little white doily in a flower dress, and she's ringing this bedside bell at me.
What? What was that about?
Well, Marie didn't have really any information on her past relatives, and they couldn't, I don't think she was able to find pictures or anything to confirm it, but this little lady just kept coming in, and what I knew Marie was going to be at a show because she would come. And this would be ongoing for about 2 weeks.
Whoa. So she kept coming in before the show?
She came to me the first time when Marie had called into the show. And then after that, it was before the show when Marie was planning to come to the show. She would be right here, and I'd have these flash pictures, you know, of this little lady, maybe in her 60s, ringing this bedside table bell at me.
Did you ever find out who this was?
No. No, I haven't seen Voice of Reason in a while.
Huh. I just keep getting grandmotherly energy with that. Instinct. I mean, that sounds like a grandmother coming through.
Yeah, I think it was more of a great.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back a ways, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and she hasn't been on in a while then.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in a while.
Okay, so. Now, on your show right now, I mean, you know, how does it work? I mean, you people do basically kind of the same as me, you know, where I'll come on and we open up for readings and go forward from there. I mean, is that the same way? I mean, how does your show work that way?
Well, I've been asking the callers to go into one subject, one problem area that they're having difficulty in, whether it be a relationship or work or something. We go into that. I pull out little things from their question and I roll with it. It just, with their energy and the way they ask the question, it tells me everything I need to know almost.
All right. So, I'm almost feeling like ambushing you with asking you to read me here on here.
I did. I sent you it in the mail.
You did? You already read? Did you read me already?
Yeah,
wow,
I sent you
quick.
An email the beginning of the week, I think.
Well, be darned. I didn't even see that yet because I've been absolutely horrible with all the things going on the property. Well, then I won't do that because you've already read me. God darn, you're fast. But what I will say is, I mean, are you up for reading here for the remainder of the show? I mean, we can open up the lines.
Sure, we could do that. Remember that what I try to gear them to help themselves because a lot
okay,
of people, yeah.
It's funny, a spirit just walked in the studio, and I am getting the chills. I don't know what in the hell. I'm serious. I mean, I'm sorry. It was just getting kind of weird, and all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere in this place just changed, and it is getting quite cold. I think Richie's
say?
Here.
Hi, baby.
I think Richie just made an appearance. Huh?
I said, hi, baby.
Yeah, it's definitely it's kind of strange energy in here tonight. Okay, I don't know quite what to make of it, but I know we have I see Jay out there on my board here. So basically, just if people do want to dial in and get a reading from Quinny, the number is 646-478-0377. Jay, I don't see your hand up, so I don't know if you want to. To get a reading here, but we'll just see. Yeah, it's the strangest thing. I feel quite odd. I mean, I have not had a spirit walk in and have that effect in this studio since we had Annie. I helped cross Anna over here in the summer, and there's been nothing in here. And this is the first time I've really had a real serious presence here in the studio, and it is extremely strange. It feels like Richie.
Take a minute and ask who it is.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to just check with Jay here, and then I'll step aside and see what's going on here. So, well, Jay, are you there?
Hi, John. Yes, thanks for picking up. Actually, I can hear you better this way, and I'm listening to learn, sort of sitting at the feet of masters, so to speak.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so thank you. I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, then what we'll do is put you back and appreciate you listening in. And thanks for being here. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Well,
thanks for listening,
Jay. All right. And I've got a Kathy has popped on chat. It's Mustang Sally and Tim's birthday. Could you do a birthday reading for them? If they call in, I've got Salsa out there with a hand up. So if they want to call in, Kathy, that would be great. Yeah, we can get that in. I don't know how I feel right now because I've got the strangest feeling of this spirit. There's a spirit in the studio, for God's sakes. And I'm not supposed to be the one reading tonight.
You want to put on a quick song?
Well, I'm going to just keep going. I know it threw me off a little bit. I mean, I was not expecting this tonight. It's like they're supposed to be visiting you, not me.
Well,
so,
they know that I'm going to ignore them right now. They come around at night when I can actually see them in the pitch black, whether they be orbs or sparklies or shadows.
Yeah, this is, he's very, what I get right now, I mean, I'll just tell you the sense I'm getting right now, is this feeling of very peaceful, a little bit, I'm a little lightheaded from it, and it's not anything, and I'm on some new meds, but I haven't, I always take them, after I do a show, because it messes up my reading, and so, I mean, I'm completely, fine right now with that regard, so it's nothing I've taken, and I got this.
Can I ask you, do you have a smell? Cologne?
I'll tell you what the sensations I'm getting. This is the strangest part. My whole chest is extremely warm. It feels like somebody's come up and it's that same feeling. Like I think with the whole where you were sitting in the bed and someone wrapped around you and gave you a big hug.
Okay.
That would be the sensation. And I have had similar sensations when I've walked into haunted places, and you get that electric feel. You kind of know the atmosphere completely shifted. The other strange thing that happened was in my right ear, I heard a distinct tone, and you know how your ear will occasionally you'll get just strange auditory stuff going on.
I have that ear all the time, John. So I think they all came by you.
Yeah, it just completely threw me for a loop. I'm going, these are different entities. I mean, I'm not used to these guys. So, I mean, I've got this cold sensation going on. I've got the ear thing, and then I've got this real warm, warm sensation going on. So, I go figure. I don't know. So it's very disconcerting. I normally don't get freaked out by stuff, but this is a little different. No, Nancy, you deal with this.
Yes,
this is what you get.
You're experiencing what I deal with here, and it's not the place I'm living. It's me.
Okay, so I'm getting what they're doing is giving me an abject lesson in how it is for you. I was sitting there asking, and they decided to give me the grand tour of your life.
I guess so.
Okay, well, I tell you what, we've got two different callers calling in. I've got Salsa and Carrie. You ready to go for it while I sit here and try to get myself back?
Sure.
Okay, well, we're going to bring Salsa on first, too. So here we go. Salsa, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Salsa.
I'm a little weirded out, good to have
John.
You on.
Hey, John, I have a question to you about that spirit. Can you tell if it's male or female?
This is the part I need. Well, I feel like this is a male energy. I feel like it's Richie. I mean, I just feel, but I know there's another one here, but there's actually two. But I just feel so completely different than I normally would with these entities are really different. I mean, I've had Richie around before, but he's never walked up and put his hands on me or anything. It's generally he's just stood nearby. But now it's like he's just come up and put his hands on my like on the back of my shoulder. And I'm just feeling very, very strange. I mean, it's a very strange
feeling. I'm wondering if it's my first husband. Because he appeared on another show talking to my daughter.
Same symptoms? Same kind of things going on?
Well, I don't know. She was in the middle of talking to my daughter, and out of the clear blue sky, there's a spirit here. Hold on. And she started telling her, my daughter, about my first husband, things that she wouldn't have known otherwise. So I'm wondering if that's him.
No, I really feel this is connected to Quinny. I mean, I feel that this is. I mean, it matches completely what she says. She gets with her style of spirit, you know, that comes to her. And I think I just got an abject lesson in how it is for her. I don't know how you do it. It's Quinny. I mean, Quinny, I don't know how you do it. It's like, wow, this is intense. You know, I've never had such physical sensations like that. I mean, I've had different things with smells, you know, touching sensations. But to kind of change your whole state of consciousness, that's another level indeed.
When you start to smell cologne, tell me.
Okay. I haven't smelled anything yet. I feel... the thing I get with this is this overwhelming. I feel such a peace, and I know Richie. You know, when Richie passed, I mean, it was really difficult for him at first, and now what I'm getting is just this. The exact thought I'm getting is tell her I'm at peace. Tell her I'm at peace. He keeps saying this, and that I'm feeling fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. So I mean, that's just the sense I get that I'm supposed to say, and now it's dissipating.
Ah,
I mean,
maybe it is my first husband.
What's that?
I said maybe it is my first husband.
I, you know, it could be a Me Too moment. I mean, we had that happen yesterday. We had two, you know, I wrote down a bunch of stuff that actually applied to two different readings. One that was on stream and then one was off stream, and it turned out it was the same thing. And yes, they do that. You know, it does happen on this show. 2 days in a row, that's going to be kind of neat. But, well, I just got touched again, left arm. I got to kind of just touch me on the hand and just, yeah, that's me. I'm still here. Okay, so.
I had a different question for you, but now I'm going to somewhere else. Now that you're experiencing these little signs, now I want to ask you about my first husband. Do you have any messages to me from him?
Well, I'm going to pass you off since I'm still completely out of it. I'm going to pass you on to Quinny with this one. Well, I kind of composed myself for a moment. So, Quinny, if you want to take this one.
They're by you. They're not here.
Oh, dear God.
My place is actually the same temperature as outside right now. It's beautiful.
All right. I'll give it a go. I did not meditate
okay.
At all. I did not meditate at all. So you're wanting your husband to come through?
Yes, my first husband. Today's the anniversary of my second husband, but my first husband's birthday is in 2 days.
It's funny. The two-day thing is going on. My friend Leslie had a two-day thing going on, and now we've got this other.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. I am so keyed up. Was this first husband very keyed up personality? Was he just really kind of intense? I mean, I'm giving this. I feel so intense and pumped up.
Came to me, yes. When it came to normally, no. He was very peaceful, very laid back. But my energy and his energy would really get things very heated up.
Was he incredibly gifted psychically? Did he have
I believe so.
Yeah, I'm getting I'm being shown that he had the sight. Why am I seeing fire hydrants? Water, fire hydrants, fire. Did he work around fire? Something fire? What is this thing with fire hydrants? Was he around pets? Did he have a dog that liked to pee on the fire hydrant? I mean, I don't know.
No.
I mean,
they had a cat, but didn't pee on fire hydrant.
What's that?
We had a cat, but it didn't pee on his fire hydrant.
Well, cats are not known for that. He's showing me something. Where in the world are you? I think this has a relation to that. What city are you in right now?
I'm in Kansas City.
And did he? Did you actually live in the city with him?
I lived in Miami with him and in Chicago.
In Chicago. And what did he do for a living? I mean, I know I'm really not reading. Just kind of imagine.
Mainly, he did advertising, and he with Leo Burnett, and he did work for AT&T in management.
If he did advertising, I would look into. Do you still have copies? I think this is starting to make some sense to me now. Do you have copies of any of his old advertising literature and things that he did in campaigns?
Oh, I know them at the back of my hand.
Okay, were there any that
had? His big things were Starkist. He did, you know, cat food and tuna and seven. He also worked for Pillsbury for a while.
Okay.
But nothing to do with fire hydrants.
Okay. What I got was blooming red fire hydrant. And it's just like, I'm sorry, sir. I don't get what you're showing me at all. I mean, I was not ready to read tonight. Let me think of what he could be trying to do here. I'm going to have to ask him to pass on this one because, man, I am not getting it. And he's kind of looking at me like, you're dense. Yeah, and I'm going, yeah, I am.
I can see him doing that.
he is stubborn as hell about his symbols the way he wants it, and he's not going to use mine.
Yeah.
I'm being shown a heart-shaped locket from him. Did he give you or someone that you know a heart-shaped locket? Is there a photo of what?
That was stolen from us.
That was stolen?
That was stolen. That's really weird. That was a heirloom that went down a couple of generations, and he had kept it from my daughter. But his family stole it before she was born.
Okay, then I'm keyed into him, and he's finally working with me a little bit. Thank you, sir. Let's see. And you know what? My guides are making me do this too. They keep on going. You don't need to prepare so much. You can just do it, John. I'm like, yeah, but I like to meditate. Let me see. Yeah, I mean, he's letting you know that it's not such a big worry about the fact that it's been, quote, stolen. The intent is known. That's all that counts. It's about, you know, the feelings, you know, that were behind it. So don't worry so much about that. It's just this physical symbol, and it almost doesn't even exist in a way because it's just matter. So that should be recreated and then given in his – I think what he's asking for – is for that to be basically recreate that on your own.
Okay.
And get that to her from him.
Okay.
Okay. That it doesn't matter that it was the actual object. What matters is his intention of love and giving that, and that's what he wants. So that's being brought now. He's back to the fire hydrant. What are you trying to tell me? Did he go through... I'm going to ask you to, is there a family of his that's still alive?
Oh, unfortunately, yes.
Okay. Which it sounds like you're not in great contact with them.
Yeah.
They can match my siblings. Yeah. The thing I'm getting here is there's something with regard to fire engines, the fire department that in his life was important that he's bringing up this whole thing of this. And I think because he's going
fire
beyond.
Department. Fire. Okay. Here's what fire department that it could be one of two things. One, he has spent a lot of ambulance rides to the hospital back and forth. But two, when his favorite uncle died, I knew that he was gone. And I told him, and I told him what I thought the situation was. And it turns out that we believe, we never proved it, we never took it far enough, that uncle was suffocated by his mother in the back of an ambulance.
Say what?
long story. People are evil.
Oh, my God. And who was this that was suffocated? I mean, because you broke up just...
His favorite uncle. His favorite uncle, Norris.
Why? Why would they do...
This woman was in nursing, and she liked his... He liked... the uncle liked my husband more than anyone else in the family, and he was getting ready to check out, and he was going to leave everything to my husband and change all his papers. And so this happened before that could happen. And there was not a lot of stuff, but greedy people do horrible things, as I have experienced.
Yeah, I can tell you for you're absolutely dead on. And I think that this may be related to that. I think he's got a lot of very strong feelings about this, even to this day. There is some, if that was the case, then maybe what I'm misreading with the fire hydrant could be sirens. I mean, because, you know, what I interpreted it to be was with the fire hydrant. But, I mean, what I was seeing was the red of it, and then I picked it up a different way than probably intended. But I'm inclined to go with that second thing, that he's got some real, you know, strong emotions about that. This person is still alive who did this?
Yeah.
Ooh, they're going to have an interesting meeting when they cross. I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, they've got a lot to pay for. This is not the horrific thing they've done in their life.
He just wants that. I think that the reason he's bringing this up is that could actually be checked into. Was there ever any investigation into this?
No, because he was afraid of his mother, and that would require me going back to Chicago, and that's a place I'm not going.
Okay. Well, but. Whatever, he brought this up for whatever reason, and I'm going to leave that to...
I brought it up because I always wondered if his uncle was okay on the other side. And
that,
one of my people.
Yeah, absolutely. He would have crossed over with no trouble. I mean, the sense I get of it is that's absolutely not an issue. It's just more of the way that this person did that. It needed to be brought out in the open, and now it has. I mean, he's been very effective with that. He showed me driving. Did he commute quite a bit? I mean, was he driving quite a lot?
Yeah.
You know, in his life? Was he sort of known for not like obeying the speed limit?
Well, he was narcoleptic like my daughter, and when he could get up and go in his car and drive and land up somewhere and never know how he got there. And one day he drove from Chicago to Alabama, not knowing anybody there, was freaked out because he had no idea how he got there. And so,
he drove to Alabama?
Yes. Well, he just drove to Alabama, not knowing how he got there. He was there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw this car thing and seen driving, and I'm going, why is he showing me the car and driving? And okay. So, I mean, you know, he's basically, you know, proven it's him for sure. I mean, you know, but this message thing that he's got going, he returns back to the locket. He really wants that. And I think he wants
me to buy it for my daughter.
It's not only for her. There's actually one for you, too. There's actually two.
Oh.
He's basically wanting to make sure that he's going to make you pay for your own locket, but... Sorry. But it's really from love, you know what I mean? I mean,
yes.
He really wants this to be a symbol from him, you know,
okay.
So that you think I mean, you already think of him every day as it is, but
absolutely.
He's wanting to use this opportunity just to get that through to you that, you know, there was that connection and he wants to make sure it's always there. And it's not like it isn't, but he's just got that little extra, and it's a romantic thing.
Yeah.
I mean, was he,
yeah.
He was pretty much the romancer, wasn't he?
Oh, very, very much. Very
yeah,
much.
Well, he ain't done.
We used to drive everywhere. That's how we would get release energy. We would just drive to wherever, whenever, however.
Well, I feel like he's pulling back a bit. He got his message across in spades,
right,
here.
Right.
Yeah, and I've still got Richie. You know, Richie is just standing by here. I think Richie's just laughing his ass off at me right now. You know what, Quinny? Richie is an enabler. I think that what he's Richie's like the switchboard operator on that other side to bring through other spirits like this. You and I should work together on occasion like this, because, man, this is a powerful effect. I've never had this happen with another medium where I've just gone into this state. I know it's your show. I'm supposed to be interviewing you, and I'm doing all this.
Well, you see, they know I read differently.
Yeah.
I base my reading around the person themselves and their present situations. A lot of the times I don't see them coming in.
Yeah, this one just hit me like a. This is how it is for you. You're just going along, and bam, they. I mean, I go through a whole process to open up and go, okay, it's okay for you to come in, and you know, I'm ready for you now, and da da da, and you're just walking along, and boom, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Well, he must be wanting to get
through.
He must really be wanting to get through today because he appeared on another show, and he had messages from my daughter then. But I didn't ask about him, so there were none for me. But that's when I came on, I got that feeling. I thought, oh, this is him.
Yeah, he's sort of stepped back from it now. He's pretty much, I think he's done with shows for today. but what he really wanted to get through that he really loves you both, and there's just this he had this need to get through to let you know I'm everything's fine, the uncle that you're talking about is fine and all that, although the uncle is not stepping forward. There's no trace of him, you know, right here with me, you know, right now. But I mean, I've got this feeling of this other gentleman, and he's very satisfied now. He's happy. He just wanted to get
through. Yeah, he would bug you until he got it through. That's who he is.
Yeah. He's a stubborn cuss.
He has a great sense of humor.
Well, he was like, you know, I think what he was looking at, I think he probably did the fire hydrant thing just to screw with me. I think that's probably it.
That would surprise me.
Yeah, let's screw with this. Let's screw with the medium and see how wrong we can make him today. Okay, no thanks. You're a funny guy. So I don't know.
I can see that happening.
But, yeah,
I know there's tons of people wanting to get on, so I won't pick up all your time. But thank you and thank everybody. And you can tell my hubby happy birthday.
I will. And he's very insistent about two lockets, one for you and one for your daughter. Okay.
Okay.
And with love. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, my dear.
All right. Have a good one. Bye bye.
You too.
Bye, Chips.
Wow. That was something. I mean,
yeah.
So this is how it is for you. I mean, I think I felt bad about being the vehicle for this, but how often does this happen to you?
Every night. Don't worry about it, because when I do, like I said before, when I do my readings, I focus on the person and not a lot of times does spirit actually come through and show themselves. They might, you know, work through the thoughts and the feelings, but they don't show themselves to me like they do to you.
Yeah, it's a very unique thing. I mean, but you're actually feeling the you're actually almost becoming them in a way. Then you're feeling all the feelings. You're able to mirror that back, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, I during the summer, there are very few times I have to use the air conditioner, especially at night, because my room gets ice cold.
And you take on these attributes of these spirits, then you actually can you sense every, you feel the feelings that they've had, and then you pass that on to the sitter, you know.
Right.
And wow, I mean that I've never had this. I mean, it was really disconcerting. I usually just get symbols. I mean, it's like I'm not a physical medium. I'm just a mental medium. I'm going, yeah, okay, I got it, blah blah blah. And now it's like, that was the first time I've ever had powerful physical effects like that. I mean, it's almost dissipated completely now, but I'm a little shook up.
Welcome to my world.
Okay.
But I try not to use that. If somebody calls in like Chips did and said and asks, you know, does my husband have a message for me? I don't know. If you ask me a question, I might be able to pick up on something that he might be saying, he might be sending through feelings or thoughts or whatever in a particular situation. Questions with me have to be phrased right.
Well, I've got a newfound respect for what you do, because man, I think this was a little lesson for me. I mean, I'm truly shocked. I stand back, go, what the hell just hit me? I mean, and Richie is still here. I mean, Richie is just standing here. I think he's trying to make sure I'm okay. And
hey,
Rich,
he's
I'm fine.
Probably laughing
dude.
His ass off too.
Oh, he is. He's sitting here. He's just, you know, I mean, I can feel him, and he's just like, I got touched on the arm, and I know that was him. He was just checking me out, you know, saying, dude, it's okay. And I'm like, whoa, dude, I'm not used to this, man. Anyway, but I have Carrie out there who wants to pop a question on, so I'm going to bring her on now. She's on Skype, so she does break up often, not often, but now and then, and she's in South Africa. So we'll bring her on. And hello, Carrie, you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Hey, Quinny. How are you?
How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. What can I help you with?
Well, I just want to say, Salsa, your guys, I don't know, it was freezing in here. And I thought my guys popped into your studio as well, John, because, yeah, it just got cold. Freezing cold, same as you.
Yeah.
I also got that.
Welcome to my world.
I know, I'm in the same world, don't worry. I also don't need a fan here or an aircon.
Transcontinental studio readings. I mean, what the, wow.
I had a guy popping up here just now, I was like, what the hell are you doing here again? So I want to know who he is. What are you doing here? I think I know who he is. It's the same dude. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know. Who is he? Maybe it was Salsa's guy that came through.
It's very possible.
Because I also get people that come through and then they're like on the show. It's like, excuse me, I'm not the medium here on the show. Go on. Over to that show.
Well,
see,
you do readings, I mean, don't you?
Oh, I'm in training. I'm in training.
Oh, okay.
I'm not quite doing readings yet, so.
Oh, just
I can.
Like us.
I can. Yeah. I'm in training tonight as well, trust me. I'm learning. Big time. So, you remember that little girl that came through on the EVP that we did a couple of months ago, John? That little one?
I remember that was in that house that you're at. There's like a property there, and it was near, this is one of the few times I actually can remember, and I'm actually just closing my eyes and I'm seeing the place again, and it was like a rural area, but you're in the city. There's a rural component to it.
Yeah.
You're in Johannesburg, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and there was like this old farm kind of thing that the city grew around it and just sort of enveloped it. And
yeah.
You've got this older, it's an older property. Yeah, I remember quite a bit there. Yeah.
You remember that. Okay. So I went off and I did my research, and eventually I'm like going through all the genealogy pages or whatever you call it, the ancestral pages and all these things you find on the internet you don't have to pay for. And I get this guy. I'm not paying for this stuff. Jeepers. You're crazy. So I'm getting this guy. I'm just like busy in my room one night, and I'm going, oh, you're here again. Who are you? He gives me his name. I'm like, oh, thank you. That's very nice. You're cooperating. Okay, cool. So I think he popped up again tonight, and he's been pissing me off big time because I've been in a hell of a mood. And I'm usually not in a hell of a mood, and I'm like, what are you doing? What do you want? I'm trying to cross you over. And I thought I did it, you know. And he's apparently still hanging on. I'm like, right, go. Get out of here. So,
well, help. Do you feel like this is the same spirit?
He feels different somehow. Somebody told me he's very moody, and it's I don't know. There's a lot of activity here, and you'd have a field day with your EVP because there's just so many spirits here.
Well, we're going to do, I'm going to, you know, this coming Saturday, we're going to do EVP night, and I think we could try to do something with this. I get that this is a different spirit. I mean, Quinny, what do you feel on this?
Different as well.
Different.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Carrie, have you ever just turned a voice recorder on at night and went to bed?
I'm a little scared to do that, actually.
Okay.
I'm a little freaked out by that idea. But, yeah, I've thought about doing that. But I don't know who the dude is. Wow.
But you live in this place, right?
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, okay, the one that I... Not the link that I sent you. I know the people that live there. And I used to go play there as a child. So when I was like 4, 5, I used to go play there.
Well, let me tell you what. I've lived right here in the center of where the California Gold Rush happened. And, I mean, I'm on a totally haunted ranch. We have multiple spirit entities. We've had everything from shadows to full-bore apparitions to stuff in broad daylight walk up and appearing right in front of us, and we've had doors slam on us and the whole works, and we're still here to tell the tale. So I think you could survive the tape recorder.
Okay. Well, this one might be new. I don't know. It's been irritating the crap out of me this week.
I think it would be really, even if you only did an hour, if you just did it, you know, pick a time during the day when you feel pretty comfortable with it. And here's a little secret of EVP. My best EVPs have come during daytime work, not nighttime. And so you can actually just pick a time, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, go over there, you know, and do a session, ask a bunch of questions, or just set it down and just say whatever you want to say. I'll be back in an hour, and then come back and you can analyze it and see what you get, you know, and do it 2 or 3 times. And I think you'll have some interesting experiences from it. So. Overnight, I gotta tell you, doing overnight EVP is really hard to analyze because, I mean, you got to go back and listen to all your snoring.
Don't talk about me that way.
actually, I was just saying in chat room, the first time I recorded myself, I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is that? And then I realized it was my snoring. And I was really sick at the time. And I was waking up all tired. So I not only use it for, you know, EVP, but when I'm really tired during the day for some odd reason, you know, I can go back and say, okay, I was snoring a lot. I'm getting sick,
yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully I'm not getting sick. I don't think so.
All I know is a very dear friend of mine who I will not name, sent me some of her EVPs, and she sent me the EVPs, and she goes, I will let you analyze this if you promise not to laugh. And I go, about what? And she goes, you'll see. And then I get there and it was like this buzzsaw. And I had to get, I mean, when I look at the waveforms, it's like, and she would like do every 2 minutes, she would go into a snoring fit, and then I'd have 2 minutes of clean EVP. So I'm sitting there snoring. I'm sitting there and I'm going, well, thank God, because she really cut down my length of my analysis. I could just clip out all her snores.
Yeah, but sometimes in between snores, you'll get
something. You get something.
Yeah.
Wow, because you're like the static, and then they'll speak in between. Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Actually, they were commenting. I mean, what was really bad is I got EVPs about her snoring. Listen, you're laughing at me.
Why are you snoring so bad?
Wow, did she ever quit? So, I mean, I will preserve her dignity to the grave, yes. So, actually, spirits have a great time at our. They actually have quite a sense of humor about the whole thing, about the human experience. So, I mean, you've really got nothing to worry about, Carrie. I mean, the thing with EVP is just show respect, don't ridicule. There are people out there that go in and provoke, and it's really rude to do that to spirits. I mean, they have sensibilities just like we do. Just go in and just say, hey, you got a message? You got something you want to say? Throw it out there, and you will be surprised. I will warn, though, that the more you contact the spirit world, the more that they will move towards you, and you will begin developing more abilities than you already have now. So it will escalate your gifts, probably past your comfort point. Kind of like what happened tonight when Quinny she gave me a taste of her world, and I'm going, whoa.
Wow. I didn't do it purposely. Richie did it.
Is that your guide?
I never knew it could be like that. It was a whole new dimension of reading. I mean, wow.
John, when I turn my lights out, you should honestly see what I see as well as feel.
I mean, what do you see? I mean, like right now, the last week, what things have happened?
My room is pitch black. I no longer use nightlight. Let's put it that way. I see the sparklies. I'll see a blue metallic outline of something. The shadows.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, an orb. I'll never forget the first time I saw an orb.
Oh.
I was in the bathroom. Thank God I was only brushing my teeth. I looked up. Something said, look at the door. I looked at the door. This orb comes through the bathroom door.
Oh, freaky.
Across the wall and goes into a light socket. And I'm like, okay. I either have really bad wiring in this house, or you just wanted to show me something there. And from that day on, whenever I was moving, I took an EMF detector with me.
Wow.
Just so I could check the outlets.
Was this is a blue orb, correct?
It was slightly blue, yes.
Yeah, we've had quite a number of experiences in paranormal investigation out here with blue orbs, and we've seen them anywhere from about a few inches across to upwards of a foot across, in some of the work we've done, and there are different colored ones, that we've run into and other teams have run into, but the blue seems to be one of the most common. So, yeah, I mean, I know what you mean about the sparkles. I mean, it's funny. I had my surgery back in December, and I was just, I was home like the first 2 weeks after, after the operation, and it was mid-December. And I woke up one night, and it was pitch black in the room. I was staying up at the main ranch house because I still had to help getting up in and out of bed. And I woke up at 4 in the morning, and I looked up, and I saw this little sparkle of light appear, and I heard a woman calling my name saying, John, John. And I'm going, what the hell? And I was wide awake, and something just told me to wake up, and I hear this woman, and she just has a real pleasant voice. And I just got the distinct feeling it was like an angel, and that they were just letting me know, yeah, we're around. But, I mean, that's for you every night?
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
let me tell you a little story. When I first moved into the Jersey City apartment, I was painting and decorating. They, you know, let me buy on instead of a month and a half down. They let me do a month, and I was sleeping there on the floor. The windows and the blinds were shut. And I just started hearing this humming, like this mechanical humming, almost. And I opened this, my eyes, and there's this volleyball-sized bright ball above me. And when it realized I was awake, it shot up through the ceiling.
You really are, there's some, you really are walking this earth with a very serious foot in the other side. You know that.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, I got feet all over the place, Nyland.
Yeah.
Side.
I'm just, it's such a powerful feeling that I had tonight. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm still a little flustered from the whole thing. I mean, I've got a slight headache now from it. I mean,
yeah,
do you get headache? Any?
Yes, I do.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm getting the. I've been quinified. That's it.
Just drink some. Drink some water, John.
Now,
drink some water.
I'm wondering if they're going to show you what I see at night, as well, with the mist and
I've
the shadows.
You know what? I would be. Actually, I've seen enough that I would not get freaked out. I mean, when I've actually had a 6 foot tall entity appear next to my father in broad daylight, and then step through a wall and then step back out. That was an experience I'll never forget in 2009, so I think I can handle it. But, yeah, I have a strong feeling this is not over tonight. Richie's just been sitting here the whole time. I've got this nice cold feeling off to my right now, and he's just hanging out. But it's the first time I've seen Richie in many moons. I mean, he's like, he's just hanging out.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I had woken up. Somebody laid beside me. I turned around. There's a man laying behind me, and he said about 3 sentences worth, and I'm like, I didn't get those. Excuse me, I have to go pee. And that was the end of that. But you actually felt him get into bed. I was on my side. He got in behind me. And he just laid down behind me.
What do you think it was about?
I don't know.
It's funny because when I went through my all my mediumship training and I got my certification and all that stuff, one of the areas that Carol Nicholson, my teacher, she warned about was that different things would start happening. And what I've had constantly since all that, these past 5 months of the training and then, getting my certification in late July, I noticed I've had constant talk at night. And it's only in my home when they wait for me. It's the same thing that you're getting, Quinny. When I close the lights off and I get ready for bed, the minute I turn the light out, the talking starts. Or if I'm sitting in my recliner and I'm sitting there with a laptop and I'm on Facebook just doing stuff, all of a sudden I'll hear my name and I'll hear them talking. And I'll go, okay. And then what I'll do is I generally can identify if it's a male or a female. And I'll repeat back to them what I think I said. And then I'll say, okay, it's time for you to, repeat it back. Or I'll say my name, which they never friggin' do. But, I mean, I'll try to get them to talk to me. And occasionally it'll come through very clear. But sometimes it's like it's underwater, I mean, we've got some similarities in some of the stuff happening.
I used to have my name called all the time. I just turn around, I'm like, what? And then it went away for a while. And then I was at my mom's house, my parents' house. I was up real late. I remember my mom coming and saying, you should go to bed. I'm real tired. I'm going to bed. You know how parents are even after you're an adult.
Yeah.
So I go outside. It's 1:30. I go outside. I'm having a cigarette. And all I hear is, Jennifer, go to bed now. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, wow.
I'm looking around. I go back in the house, tiptoe to the other side. Mom's snoring away. So it wasn't her. Go. I'm like, okay, what just happened? And it was very firm.
That's almost a parental sounding thing. I mean,
I've also heard it before, after, when my mom was in the hospital for a blood clot. You know, she came home, I was staying over, making sure the house was running properly. And the night she came home, we were all sleeping, and all I heard was, Jennifer. And I rush into my mom's room, and I'm like, what? And I woke everybody up. We're all sleeping. I'm like, what do you want?
That's like my dad. I mean, you know, many times I've talked about this whole situation with my father with all the things that go on. I mean, the spirit world helps with his care. You know, we've had a long running, I guess you could call it agreement. But earlier this year, Dad was in the hospital. We'd had to ambulance him up, and Mom was alone in the house. And all of a sudden she saw out of the corner of her eye, she saw a black shape. She looked over and it was a black orb, and it shot through the room. And what it did is it's kind of slowed down just enough for her to track it. And it disappeared right into my father's picture, in the den, and flew right through it. And my mother jumped up, and she immediately knew Dad was in trouble. And she jumped in the car, locked the house, took off, got to the hospital, and here he is. He's in trouble. He was having some sort of medical. I can't remember what the medical event was, but the nurses didn't even know. She actually got in there and saved his life because of this entity that popped in and did this thing. So, you know, they when they do this, it's for a reason. When they're calling your name like that, it's for reasons. You know, there's really there's a purpose to all this. You know, it's sometimes they like to screw with us, but I think you know what they were doing is they're either developing you for some higher things that are going on, or there was really something going on that your attention was needed.
She was fine. That's what I don't understand. Maybe she was having breathing difficulties. And I woke her out of it. I don't know. But
I think it was something like that. I think that you unknowingly went in and interrupted something that could have had a different outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, I've heard that too. Sitting here and I hear the phone ringing. I'm like, who got the phone? Who got the phone? And they're like, what phone? I'm like, who answered the phone? And I'm like, didn't you hear the phone ringing? And like, no. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't hear the phone ringing? The phone was ringing. Did you get the phone? Who was calling me? What? Wasn't it the bell? What? I'm like, shut up, man. I'm going crazy. Why are you calling me?
At night, if I'm not paying attention, do you get like a loud banging sound?
Oh,
it's
you
like one thud. Like pay attention.
Well, what'll happen is, different things happen here. I mean, and this is, we call, you know, with the paranormal investigations I've done and different sites I've been on, every particular haunt has a profile. It has its own personality. And, here at this place, we tend to get knocking on the wall here in the studio, you know, in Studio A where I'm at right now. We'll get knocking. And generally when I'm on air, and we had it last night, Brenda and I are looking at each other like, oh, it's happening again. But, I mean, at my home, what generally happens is I'll get little scratching noises, or there'll be actual – what's funny, and I know this sounds completely nuts, you know, but you talked about how they sit on your bed. They come pull on my sheets. Yeah, they pull on my feet, and they'll actually tap my feet and do different things, and I'm going, and I'll wake up and go, what do you want? You know, it's like, and I got to the point where, you know, I actually had one event that was really disturbing that I kind of got up and ordered everybody out, and I wouldn't allow them back in for a while, but they've been well behaved, And so now it's kind of started back up a little bit again, and they do, and I've done some test EVP work in the house, and there's a male entity now that Anna's gone, and he's a bit of a smart ass. I mean,
John, real quick, make a note, because while you were talking, I swear I heard a whisper in there.
In here with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know Richie's still around. I mean, he's hanging out. He's probably just watching over me. He's probably just saying, yeah. Because I don't feel anything. The only thing that I've got is the residual headache, which, I mean, do you still get, is that what you get when you're done with the reading stuff, when this stuff happens?
Not always. It's either a shot of adrenaline, energy, where I can actually do housework or something, or, you know, I'm not tired. Sometimes you get people that are very draining and don't listen to what you're saying. They don't want to listen to what you're saying because they only want to hear what they want to hear.
Yeah.
And that's very taxing. That brings on, you know, the headaches, the down feeling, want to just lock myself in the apartment for the next week type feeling. But luckily it dissipates over, you know, an hour or so.
Yeah, I have a feeling that what happened here will probably, and I'll report on this throughout at the end of the week when I have my next show. Actually, I do have a show midweek with a dear friend of mine, an author, who's going to be on Marie Jones. I think midweek I'll be having a show, but the one after, I'll talk about this because I have a feeling this is not quite over, my friend. You and I are going to be talking this week. this is definitely a whole new complexion. I had a feeling something was going to happen because, I mean, they've really been playing different games. They totally, you know, I like to have things in a certain order when I do my reading work, and it's like, and the other side is going, no, you don't understand. You're going to do it our way. And I'm going, oh, okay, whatever.
I've learned you can't always control it. And honestly, yeah. John, I used to get migraines like you wouldn't believe. I kept a journal once, and I had about 23 days of migraine in the month of January alone a couple of years ago, and I stopped after March. I'm like, I don't want to look at this anymore. And once I learned a couple of new things, you know, talking to Kathy, just learning that I can't control everything, the migraine stopped.
Funny you said that, and the mind lamp turned a perfect shade of purple here, just as you were saying all that. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be getting it as bad as what you've been through. Well, now my right ear just did it again. I said that, and my right ear is just went into total tone.
Oh,
this is
that reminds
this
me.
Thing. What is this?
That reminds me. In Jersey City, here we go again.
Okay.
A lot of things came up. I knew I had things going on in the house. I knew I had people, you know, different entities in the house and everything. And I always heard this humming, and I try, you know, you want to debunk everything, okay? Anne-Marie doesn't have her air conditioner on. It can't be that. Maybe it's the transformer outside on the pole. You just want to debunk everything. And I just said, okay, you either shut up or you can tell me a bedtime story. Until I moved out to Hazleton, Pennsylvania, from Jersey City, that it was over a course of 5 years, I had this constant, almost like a constant ringing and a constant clogging. And I was going to the ENT, he was checking my sinuses and my ear canals and everything. There was nothing there.
Well, this, I'll tell you, I feel like whatever, you and me are going to be working together, I think, a little bit, because I just, this is a most un. I've never had them tuning me while I'm on the air. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, usually it's just a symbol thing. It's like, oh, yeah, I can read them. And, you know, okay, you know, it's mediumship. It's easy, you know. And, but, I mean, now it's like you're throwing in these very unusual physical sensations. I mean, I've done medical intuitive work way, way in the distant past where, you know, because I do psychometry. And it's generally when I'm touching someone that I'll get sensation. And I'm okay with that. But when you're on the air and you're just doing your thing and then all these things start happening and you're not even touching anybody, it's like, damn, that just gives you the willies, you know?
Yeah, I've never touched someone and felt my energy. Normally, you know, when I was seeing someone and they were getting rowdy at the bar or whatever, I would put my hand on their arm and they would instantly calm down. And I started having people telling me that my touch is electrifying.
Ooh, really?
I get that. I get that a lot.
And it was always nice because, you know, the boyfriend's drunk, he's starting to brawl at the bar, just touch, and he's calm.
It's kind of like Crocodile Dundee. Oh.
Or feet.
Feels over. I'll tell you, the sensation, I mean, this is the most interesting thing. This is definitely a new spirit. Richie is still here. There's a new male spirit in here. What I'm going to try, this is a new style of reading for me, so I'm just going to go with it. Back injury, left side, something wrong with the left side of the back, and has an eye twitch. This, I don't know if you either you know this person, but this is what I'm getting. This is I'm not used to this. I'm used to symbols only. But I right arm. I feel like there's been an injury. I feel like this is an accident. This guy had an accident, and he injured his back. I feel like this is motorcycle.
Well, it's weird when you guys were talking to Chip. I saw, remember I put in chat when you were talking about the fire hydrant, I couldn't remember the name of fire department. I was like going, what the hell is that thing called? I could see the fire hydrant and I was like, sure, but I can't remember what this thing is called. And like I said in the chat, I'm breathing, and Anastasia said to me, no, I'll send you astral heat. And I said, rather said mental clarity, that'll be better, you know. So I'm thinking, sure, I can't think of this thing. And actually what I get is images sometimes, and I saw the fire department, but I saw parts of it, and then saw like a dam, and then I saw I had a feeling of an ambulance, and then I almost felt like a guy, you know, they always show you those old movies where the people are driving too fast in a gravel road, and then they go and they whack into a pond or something, and they land up with their bonnet in the pond, and the boot opens, and, you know, the car slowly sinks and goes bubble, 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 bubble. I had that kind of, you know, maybe this guy, I don't know, he went into a pond or something, like like almost a swampy, like, not a proper pond, but like almost a drying up pond, like a swampy area, you know. And that's what I got while you were speaking to Chip. So I was going, oh my god, I don't know what I'm getting here, you know. So I don't know if you can.
I feel like it's the same spirit that is working with us, because what I honestly feel accident, male accident, back injury. Heat on the right side of the arm, like road rash or something like that,
now,
but it's very hot.
Let me
And sore on my back, really sore, and very confused. I want to go home. I just want to go home. I want to go home. This didn't happen. This can't be. And that's kind of what I'm feeling from this. And I don't know who the spirit is. And Richie's just sitting back. He's not saying a word. I don't know if
sure
you know this person, but I know this is what I'm getting.
No clue.
I wonder if one of the audience is having, you know, if this belongs to somebody in the chat room, you know, or who listens, get into contact with me, because this person, you know, I'm getting male 35 to 45, brunette, and was wearing his leathers. Yeah, definitely, and a fairly good sized man. I mean, better than 6 feet.
Think he was drinking?
No, absolute accident. And what I get, it was hit by a car. This is a mountain road, like a mountain type thing. I mean, were you seeing mountains, Dan?
Wasn't really seeing mountains, but I just saw the dam, and I just saw the car, and I saw an ambulance. I just got those three visions and the fire department. That's all I got.
Yeah, well, I get that he passes at the scene, and, you know, this is an accident, and he passes at the scene, and he was just really confused. And he's just sort of, I don't think this is a very old incident. I think this is relatively new. What do you guys think?
Well, I've got goosebumps, so that's a yes.
Yeah. All right, well, let's just kind of... you know, I don't think we're going to get any confirmation on it. I mean, I've never had anything like this on the show before. It's been a while, and I feel like this is very fresh. So I don't know, but I mean, it's a terrible thing. You know, but I don't know why we're getting this. If it's something we're supposed to do to help the spirit move on, you know, I'll do my best. But he's here. I mean, Sherry, are you feeling him right now? I mean, there.
I'm aware of him. My hands are still freezing. They're like ice blocks. I turned my heater up completely, so that's warm.
I actually feel all like I've been battered, injured.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Quinny, I mean, what do you got?
Actually, I don't have them, but when she asked you if alcohol was involved, and you said no, that ruled me out.
It's not the motorcyclist that drank the alcohol. That's what I meant. The motorcyclist was not drinking.
Okay.
If it was somebody else,
but the guy
in the
car might have been.
Yeah. So I mean, alcohol could be a factor. I mean, what I do know is this: is the motorcyclist was staying in his lane, and he got creamed by the guy that was not supposed to be in his lane.
I'm getting it, it's
around a curve, and the next thing you know, wham.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
what is weird?
There's some readers on BTR, and they just came back onto BTR in the last 2 weeks. Yeah, I'm getting feedback anyway. I'll ignore it. And this girl in the chat room, she and I started gaming together, and she was like, oh my gosh, I had this automatic writing experience. She's not in here, but I can email her and we can get a hold of her and whatever. And she said, I got this message from Dave. She got the name Dave. And
yeah.
We got GA, where's GA? GA, GA, Atlanta, GA. I think it's Atlanta, hey? Yeah, and she said she got this pond. She got the feeling of this pond, but there's a pond now, but that's where an old shop used to be. And it was, what is it, Route 70, I think, Route 70, Route 80. If you go and Google Map Route 70 or Route 80, you will actually see that this area has a pond now, and it's near train tracks. And it's near police quarters, I think, where they kept the dogs. And then just a little bit to the right of it, okay, when I'm looking at Google, it's just to the right of it. And there was some industrial place there. And she was going, I don't know if this place is getting robbed now, and I don't know why we're getting this guy coming through. But now it's making sense that it could be... What's making more sense to me now, why we got it then, but we were both going, I don't know why we're getting this through. I don't know why the pond is coming up. And I don't know if at all this pond is sticking to this, because she sent me a video of what this road looks like, and it's got like old cypress trees, all those poplars. It's pretty tall cypress trees. It's
very, very, very tall one. Old, 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 old. Almost country. And I could imagine a pond been there. And somebody just sticking off the road or something, you know?
Well,
I don't know what you guys are.
I'll tell you what, we've got about 5 minutes remaining here in the show, and what I'd like to do is follow this up. You know, if we could Facebook the links, you know, Quinny, you and me, so we could kind of, because I think this guy's trying to work with all of us to try to get a message out, and I don't know, I mean, I don't know, you know, he's definitely made his point, you know, heard, but now you've got to figure out what to do with it. So I mean, I'd like to see the Google, you know, links that you've got, and then Quinny, I mean, you've got some feelings about it too.
Sure. Yeah, I have some.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and close it down, Quinny. I mean, I learned a lot about you tonight and the whole audience. I mean, I didn't know that this is what it's like for you.
Yeah.
Quinny, you rock, girlfriend.
You do.
Rock. You rock.
I mean, would you entertain coming back on again? Because, I mean, this is the most unexpected reading, show. I mean, I have done in a long time. I mean, it completely differently than I thought it would.
Sure.
You're an eternal surprise, my dear.
Sure, I'll come back on.
Okay. I would really like to work with you more. I mean, you've got you're a regular magnet for this. That's all I had to hear. Is she's just laughing, like, yeah, you figured it out finally, dummy. Duh.
Welcome to my world.
Man. Okay. Yeah. Well, I have a strong feeling we're going to be speaking about this tonight. And so I'm going, what is going on with this? So I'm going to be the rest of the night just kind of going, walking around, going, what the hell? So, but you know, and I extended, and I'm sorry I didn't tell everybody I extended, but I did because it was just going so well. And I'm sorry, I wish I could extend more because this is such a neat show tonight. The spirit that came through to you, Dave, if that's your name. We will continue to follow up on this. So, you know, just letting the other side know that. And I Richie is still here. I'm going to be talking to you about Richie after the show. So I just want to thank everybody for coming in for a very memorable Sunday night show. I can't remember when we've had one like this. Anything, last thoughts, guys? I mean, you know, both of you, before we call it a night?
Not really. I don't have really any last thoughts to give you. I'm sure we'll be talking more about this. I'll share more with you about what goes on in my life. And the first rule that I think we all should follow is never ask spirit to tell you a bedtime story because they don't shut up.
Yeah, I figured that out. And, well, Carrie, I appreciate you coming on, and you've been an excellent co-pilot, and we've repaired the throttle damage from the your accidental thing there. So, thank you.
You can land the plane now.
Yeah, you're welcome to co-pilot with me anytime, my dear. And you know
thank
what? I have a strong feeling you're going to be you're already well past the need for the training. I think you're an excellent medium in your own right. So you're doing great. Okay. All right. And Quinny, you are a quantity far beyond anything I ever imagined.
You're a troll.
You are. I'll give you a call later, okay? So, I mean, we got a minute and a half left. I'm going to start winding it here. To the chat room and the audience, thank you as always for being here. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't have this show. And I just love you guys to death. So, I'll just start with, we've got Blue, by gosh, we got a big audience tonight. We've got 67RS Blue Jen, I know who that is, hi Lorna. Almost Heaven, hi Hazel, Anastasia, we got Blue Moon, Carrie Whisper, hey, I know, that one's on, hey, she's on here, yeah. She's in Johannesburg. And we got Chips and Salsa, we've got Sybil Violet Pome, I don't even know how to say that. Hi, Sybil. Daniel Adam is here. Dan Firehouse. We got Gerber Days ETM. Hey, Gerber. JB34 listening in out there. We've got Margaritaville, Mountain Diva. Nancy is here with her frying pan. We've got Psycho Psychic and Quinny. And anybody else? Oh yeah, and we've got Senor GP. And I've been watching you, Senor. You're really cool, really cool person there. And we got Leslie, my dear friend Leslie, and everybody just a big hand for Leslie. She is my dear friend from Roseville, and I grew up around her, and we went to the same high school. So hello, my dear, we love you. So anyway, this is Soulstream. We got about 15 seconds left. We're going to go ahead and sign it off without any music. But thank you so much for being part of the show. And we'll be on here with Marie Jones talking about her book here in about 3 or 4 days. So until then, this is Soulstream signing off. And then we'll go into stream here. Hi, guys.
Hi.
We're on stream now. We can talk.
We can talk. Oh,
oh my God. Was that something else or what?
It was intense. Wow.
Dude, I mean, I have never had physical symptoms. I mean, yeah, and I'm not physical manifestations like that ever in a reading. I mean, that's just a completely new eye opener for me.
Wow.
Did I sound weird? I mean, I honestly was really flustered from that. I mean, it just completely. Oh,
we could hear it. That's not there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, that one woman that came on, I can't remember her name, but had her husband, Chips. Yeah, Chips and Salsa. You know, that gentleman did come through, but the whole thing that was so prominent was Richie kind of coming in and facilitating. Honestly, I got to tell you, I think Richie is kind of found his role.
Amazing.
You know? Yeah, I mean, what do you get from that, Quinny? Is he been coming around to you again?
Every so often I do feel him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's the clone now, giving me the clone as well, or if somebody else is around doing the clone on top of his coldness and his touch and his, you know, sitting next to me and laying next to me and.
Yeah, I know you had some concerns about that, you know, some time back, but I really feel that he's strongly around, and it's definitely him here, but there's a whole new element to him, too. I mean, he's working with others, and he's bringing others through. I think he's actually bringing people through to help with this work.
Wonderful.
Wow. Really, my grand does that, my dad's mom. She's helping me with mediumship, too. She, you know, Dead Air, she brought a couple of people through on the EVPs there. I know she was bringing people through because they were battling to come through, and I said, go help. Or not even I went, go help. She was just waiting to come through, and just like, oh, okay, you're bringing them through. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, cool. If you want to help, that's
yeah.
Fine.
It's such a... I've just never had in studio such powerful physical things. I mean, it's still here. I mean, and it's actually gotten colder in the studio after the show ended. I mean, to have that every night. I mean, I'm just you've been doing it. You know, you've got quite a powerful bunch of friends there, Quinny.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I really feel like what it is with you is you. I think that you're more than normal human. To say that, but
this is normal to me, and
yeah, I just got an abject schooling. I thought I knew a thing or two, and now I'm going, okay, I know nothing. I mean,
I feel I know nothing.
Yeah,
I feel that way too.
Well, you know, I mean, I thought I was doing good just with some of the stuff I do, but my goodness, the physical sensations are just overpowering right now. I mean, I'm going to go in and have a cup of coffee and stick an aspirin and go, whoa, dude.
Just sit back, enjoy the ride, John.
Do you? Yep. I mean, do you really feel like they're going to do something tonight? I mean, I'm getting that sense that the ride ain't over.
Yes, the ride ain't over. guys. Not
okay.
Over.
Okay. What have you done to me?
Sorry.
Well, no, I'm actually I'm rather enjoying it, even though it's disconcerting as hell. It's just a whole nother level of communication I never counted on. And maybe it's just that the work I've been doing, they've decided, okay, it's time to show them how this really works. So
how it really works. I mean, I thought, you know, I'm waiting to get what you guys are getting.
Okay. Could send them to you.
Well, it's funny. Like, what do you mean? What do you, like the stuff that I do with the names and the things like that?
Yeah, I don't get that.
Oh.
It's so easy for me. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'll just sit there and I'll just see the name. It's just like it's in bright letters in front of me, and I'll just go, oh, and like the other night with the Evelyn thing, and I could have kicked myself. I almost said Evelyn, and I went, no, that's too easy. It's like Evie or something. And then it turned out it was like Evelyn. You know, but I mean, that's how I see it. I see it in my mind's eye. I see like a neon sign in my mind, and it's just these names pop in, and it's just there. I have no clue how they do it, but they obviously are able to manipulate our thoughts and our brain brain chemistry enough to be able to basically control the machinery that we're operating on as a biological instrument and do these things. And I seem to do it, and I don't know how I do it, but it just happens. So, I mean, it's just like with you. I mean, you, I have a feeling that this is going to be a nice trade. I think I'm going to give you, it's going to be, I pass this one on to you. And the same thing's going to happen to you, Carrie. You're going to end up with all this, and you're going to be going, what the hell? And then there's going to be all this stuff that you've had happening that we're both going to get. And it's like, I think we're just a massive trade here. We're going to walk into work tomorrow going, oh, crap, what happened to us, man?
Oh, shit, I got to go to my tech just, oh, God, I'm going to be going there. Oh, orb. Oh, Dylan, that's nice.
It's funny. I mean, I feel very energized, slight headache, but I feel very just blown away. I mean, I'm in awe of this. It's a whole new dimension of communication. I mean, I just didn't realize it could be like this. It's just striking. I'm sorry I'm repeating myself so much, but it's such a surprise. I mean, I really thought I understood reading after all this time and did the work, you know, and then it's like they just pull out another surprise, you know, like they turn the page of a book and you go, oh, the plot thickens.
There's more.
Yeah, but oh, yes, yeah. But wait, there's more. If you buy today, you'll not only get that, but hey, that's your shipping. And
fun.
You'll get wait, you'll get a smart chip too. Oh, cool! I can do that too. Wow, I'll buy two. Yeah, no, this is different. They are truly. I just have to say, I mean, the other side, you guys are amazing. But I think this one's going to take me a week or two to come to terms with. So that said, but you know, thank you both for being on. I mean, for doing this.
It was fun, John.
Okay, well, with that, I'm going to wind it down and go up and check on folks and stuff. And Richie's doing? He's just making sure I'm okay. I think he's going to walk with me. He's sitting in the chair. He's sitting in my massage chair right now laughing at me. I mean, I have a massage chair here in the studio. We call it, everybody who comes in and goes, can I sit in the chair? And he's like sitting over in the chair, and I think he can't figure out how to use it because he don't have a body, but he's just sitting there.
Damn, I don't have a job then, John.
Well, you're too far away, my dear. I mean, I can't just jump on a plane to Johannesburg. I mean, it's a little bit of a ride, you know. But, next time I just happen to find myself there, I'll give you a call.
Okay, well, next time I just find myself in the USA, I'll give you a call as well.
Do that. Next time you're in the gold country out here, we'll do that. All right, my friends.
Oh, before we go, you wanted to know something about my name.
Yes. That you had on Facebook, you had Quinny Genoveva Genia. What does that mean?
Genoveva.
Oh, Genoveva.
Genoveva is Polish for Jennifer.
Okay.
Genia Genya is the short version of Genevieve. And Winnie is actually, you know, like the seventh grade spelling of the short Guinevere, because that's Old English for Jennifer, and I was always called Gwynnie.
Oh.
Judy, it's Jennifer in Polish. Oh, I see.
And the Gwynnie is funny because that was written on one of my birthday cards from a friend back in like 7th or 8th grade. And that spelling just stuck.
Well, that
amazing.
Is, okay. Well,
so
I'm going to...
You know, the G, they put a Q, so...
And I won't ask what the A is for in the middle name for the other on the on Facebook.
Anne Marie.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. And mine's Franklin.
Okay.
It's so boring, Franklin. But I think I'm named after Ben Franklin. I just like Ben.
I
don't know.
Named
Carrie,
after
what's your middle
my
name?
Grandmother's.
It's Carrie. It's Carrie.
Carrie is your middle name?
No, second name is Carrie.
Oh, okay.
I go by my second name, so. But I don't use my first name.
Oh, Carrie. Okay, I see.
Yeah, yeah. I don't use my first name on air, so privacy thing.
All right.
But everyone's getting
I,
to know me as Carrie, so don't worry. Everyone knows me as Carrie.
You love you as Carrie. You will forever be Carrie.
Thank you.
All right, ladies. Well, let's put this thing to rest. We'll call it a night, and I will be in touch with both of you. If you could share those links that you have with this, I'd like to see that, because I have a feeling. I just have the strongest feeling. This is a very recent accident, and this man is trying to get help, and I think he just saw us all together and. I think he's just reaching out and he just connected with us so okay.
Yeah, well this communication I had with this girl, she's also in the USA. It was in like the last week or two, so it also just happened very recently. Very
okay.
weird. But I was okay, whatever. I'll
right,
sign
guys.
It again. No worries. Okay,
okay.
Thank you. Enjoy the evenings.
Okay, see you guys later.
All right, I'll be on Facebook for a while. Talk to you later.
Okay, see you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right. And let's see, I'm going to hit that, and I'm going to hit that, and this has been an extraordinary night. I'll just do a recap before we end everything. What a night. This has been an eye-opener for yours truly, the host here. I have never experienced such things during a show, and I'll report on what I find in all of this in the coming week. I'll bring it up a little bit on my show with Marie here midweek and talk a little bit about it before we get going into the interview with her. But the spirit world, tip of the hat to you guys, you eternally surprise me. And thank you for just being there and being part of the show and making this all work the way it does, because you eternally educate me and you help so many people with what you do. So thank you. If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be able to do all this. So I have no idea what you're going to do tonight, but I can feel something coming. So anyway, this is Soulstream. We're going to go ahead and sign it off, and I'll throw a little bit of music to wind it down, and then we'll call it a night. So instead of any night court, I've still got those bumpers up there. Let's do something a little bit of fun here. I'm going to do the At Last, because I think with the romance that happened today with that one lady with the lockets, I think this is a kind of a nice way to wind it up. So here we go, a little bit of At Last to sign us off on a Sunday night.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com.